I started trapping when I was very young. My grandfather was a trapper, and my father was a trapper, and now I have a young son, and he comes along with me, and I'm passing on my heritage to him.
And you trap mostly in the Bitterroot or whereabouts?
I do. I live in the Bitterroot, and that's primarily where I do most of my trapping. That's correct.
And what do you trap?
Well, I try to take advantage of every trapping opportunity that I can. Primarily, I grew up trapping what trappers refer to as aquatic fur bears, so beaver and muskrat and mink. Those are the things I really enjoy. It's what I did with my dad, and so that's the primarily what I trap. But I also like to get into the high country on public lands and trap marten. It's one of my favorite wintertime activities that I like to do.
And do you trap mostly to sell the fur, or do you trap also for population control and that kind of thing?
As a fur trapper, certainly there is an aspect there where I do sell fur, but I also keep a lot of fur, and I have it tanned, and I make garments out of it. One of the things that
for personal use?
For personal use, yeah. One of the things I'm proud of is that a lot of the clothing that I wear actually comes from a renewable natural resource, and certainly I am actively engaged in the conservation of wildlife, and I do participate as a trapper and a hunter and an angler in the state of Montana, and these are all things that, like I said previously, certainly enrich my enjoyment of the outdoors.
Mm-hmm. There are very few trappers, I assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, that actually make a full-time living trapping, right? It's just not that lucrative.
That's correct. Trapping is a very time-intensive and expensive activity to participate in. Certainly, the trappers that are making a full-time living at it are also actively pursuing the profession of nuisance wildlife control, where they would trap throughout the summer months to help homeowners and private business owners get exclusion from troublesome animals.
Like, and then, coyotes, for example?
Coyotes could be some examples. Beaver are another one that come up often that do impact public health and safety, and they need to be removed, and knowledgeable trappers are the first to be contacted by our game officials. And there are a lot of regulations that we must uphold, just like hunters do and anglers do, and some of them are for conservation reasons, and some of those regulations are for social acceptance reasons.
And you're also regulated on the kind of traps you can use.
There are traps that must be used in a certain way. That is correct. The body gripping type traps are designed to kill an animal as quickly as possible, versus a foothold trap, which is designed to catch and hold an animal until the trapper arrives to either dispatch that animal or release it. In our regulations, we recommend a minimum of 48-hour trap check with a foothold trap, and that is also in alignment with our trapper education program that the Montana Trappers Association has had in place for about 27 years.
We're speaking with Toby Walworth, who's president of the Montana Trappers Association, and also here in the studio is Tom Genoux, who's with Trap Free Montana Public Lands, and this is the group that is sponsoring Initiative 169, which would ban trapping on public lands. And Tom, listening to Toby talk about the heritage of trapping in Montana and the kind of regulations that trappers adhere to and also the ethical trapping practices that they follow, why do you object to trapping on public lands?
I think the trappers are unaware of the overall damage they do to Montana's wildlife. I think individually, like Toby, many are ethical. They care very much about animals. They know lots about animals from the experiences I've had talking to them. However, traps today are really efficient, and it's very easy to over-trap.
And what do you mean when you say over-trap?
Traps of the populations are in danger of extinction, or they're very low. An example are beaver. There was probably 250,000 beaver in Montana when Lewis and Clark came through, and there's maybe 25,000 now. And that has a huge effect on water storage in the mountains, spring runoff, riparian areas, and lots of other species, many of which are threatened or endangered, that are associated with riparian habitats.
The state, though, sees beaver as a species that needs to be managed and controlled.
And in some cases, that's true. They cause flooding mostly on the floodplains, and people shouldn't be building houses in the floodplains. But that's, I don't think that's an important part of the issue. And our initiative allows for trapping by either public trappers or trappers like Toby to go in and solve problems if there are problems.
What about that, Toby? The initiative would allow for some trapping if it was deemed that a species needed to be managed by trapping on public land.
That's correct. The wording of the ballot measure would allow trapping in certain circumstances. Per the wording of the ballot measure as it's written now, I-169 states that if all non-lethal measures have been determined to be ineffective, then trapping can occur. Once that animal is trapped, according to the ballot measure, that animal must be incinerated or burned unless it can be used for some type of public benefit. The Montana Trappers Association maintains that our fur bears are a renewable natural resource, very well and effectively managed by our wildlife management professionals. And in accordance with the Wildlife Society, the Association of Fish Wildlife Agencies, and the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, our fur bears are very well regulated and managed. And the idea that an animal is killed and then thrown into an incinerator or into a dumpster does not seem to align with the ethical practices that fur harvesters in our state would adhere to.
Tom?
The main thing is that it wasn't used as a income-generating thing. The carcasses weren't sold for profit. Otherwise, if it can be used beneficially, good.
You haven't mentioned a couple of things that I know members of your group do have concerns about in terms of trapping, so I want to bring those up. And one is that the notion that trapping is inhumane inherently.
Trapping is cruel. There's not a mandatory trap check, so animals can spend days out there in pain.
Toby, that's true. It's not mandatory that you check those traps. It's recommended that the traps are checked every 48 hours, but there's no regulation for that, right?
That is correct. In Montana,
why not?
That's a great question, and it's a very valid point. In Montana, there is a trap check requirement by law for wolves, 48-hour minimum, but for other species, there is not. And it is recommended to check your traps every 48 hours. It is not a legal requirement. However, if there is a law that you cannot trap in a way that will cause the wanton waste of any animal. And so that actually leaves a pretty big window for judgment from our game officials as to what constitutes wanton waste. So while we don't have a mandatory trap check requirement, we cannot trap in a way that would cause an animal to rot and not be used.
Would you argue that the bulk of animals who are trapped don't suffer?
I would argue that if we use the best available technology, we have identified the traps that are the most efficient and humane. And then along with that are techniques and baits to use or lures to use or the ones to avoid. If we use that collective group of information and as wildlife professionals, as trappers, as a representative of my trapping community, I am a staunch advocate for using the most readily available and the most advanced trapping techniques and equipment. Tom's group opposes openly trapping. They say that trappers are inhumane barbarians. I argue that they are not. Trappers are very in tune with our environment. We love the outdoors. We know a lot about the animals, and we treat the animals with the absolute most respect. At the same time, we are harvesting those animals. There is no question. We are in the forests, and we are consuming wildlife. We do it as hunters, we do it as anglers, we do it as trappers.
My question was, would you argue that the bulk of the animals who are trapped in Montana don't suffer?
I would argue that if we use the most recent advancements in trapping and techniques, that the animals will not suffer. And if I am going to say that I can shoot an elk and take and consume that elk, and I can shoot a coyote and consume that coyote in whichever way I choose under the auspices of our governing agencies, the taking of animals is a viable and necessary component of our wildlife management.
The difference, and Tom, you can chime in here, but I think the difference between trapping and hunting, of course, is you shoot an animal and supposedly it's an instantaneous death. You put an animal in a leg hold trap, and maybe or maybe not that trap will be checked within 48 hours. But for that 48 hours or longer, the animal is alive and trapped and may not be suffering in physical pain, but certainly is a very traumatic event for the animal. That would be different than taking a high-powered rifle out and shooting an elk.
There certainly are some differences there. However, if you look at trapping using a foothold trap, an animal that is captured and you as a trapper decide that that animal is not one that you want to take, you can release that animal. If you are hunting, and once you pull the trigger, that's it. If you hit your target, that animal is yours.
Tom, you want to chime into this discussion in terms of whether it's humane or not?
Yes. Well, again, there's no requirement to check the traps, and some trappers don't check them for a long time. You're not sure that the body gripping or body crushing trap is going to actually kill the animal. It might just get a leg or something else. The traps are baited frequently, and you're not quite sure what's going to get into the trap. And so not all the traps that you come and collect the animals from have the animals that you expect them to be. I don't know what percentage you have. And, you know, sometimes pets and stuff get caught in traps.
Certainly it is something that can happen. I won't say that it isn't. However, there are a number of ways to minimize the risk of non-target capture.
Toby, how worried are you that as more and more people in Montana live in the territory where you trap, and I realize that the initiative applies only to public land, not private land, but how worried are you that your industry is certainly coming under more criticism because people do move into your trapping territory, they do have dogs, or they come upon a trap with an animal in it that's been killed and they don't like the sight of that? That's probably a concern, I bet.
It's absolutely a concern. Certainly public image and our place within a multi-use philosophy of our public and private lands is certainly something that we are concerned about. I'm working currently on a trapper working group with the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and other members of the agricultural industry, some non-trappers, and we're trying to find ways to eliminate those risks. And certainly it can only benefit everyone.
Tom, speak to the idea that trapping is part of Montana's heritage in terms of an outdoor activity. It's like hunting and angling and all of that.
The sentiment's changing. Trapping overall in Montana, as it's practiced now, is very destructive. People know the cruelty issues. The economic issues are probably the most important. There is a decreased habitat for a lot of animals. Having some like the lynx and wolverine near the endangered species lists allows the federal government to come in and tell businesses like mine, the mining industry, what we can do with the land. And they can say if it's important habitat, they can stop your operations. So that hurts Montana. Trapping is quite small, and what we're talking about is just on the public land.
Well, I have been speaking with Tom Genoux, who's with the group Trap Free Montana Public Lands. They're the group that is sponsoring Initiative 169, gathering signatures to get that on the ballot. It would ban trapping on public lands. And Toby Walrath, who is president of the Montana Trappers Association and a trapper himself. And Toby and Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you very much for your time. I sure appreciate it.